In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's such a blessing to be able to celebrate this great feast of the entrance of the Most Holy Theotokos into the temple on a Sunday this year. Because today, as we hear at Matins, we sing for the first time, Christ is born, glorify Him. And so in this feast, the church takes us back. It takes us way back, even before that point in time. And it starts with three readings that we heard last night during the Vespers service. The first is from Exodus, and it talks about how Moses set up the tabernacle to God when we first talked about the Ark of the Covenant and setting up the tabernacle, and the glory of the Lord filled the place, and it was so great that they couldn't get near it. And it was so bright, tremendously glorified, tremendously full of light, so that they could not approach it. And of course, we must never confuse the glory of the Lord with the Lord Himself. Because at that point in time, of course, the Lord Himself could not be contained in any kind of dwelling, any kind of tabernacle, any kind of ark, but His glory, His presence could be contained there. And there is a bit of a difference there that we'll get to. The second reading we heard from the third book of Kings. And in that we hear about Solomon and the temple and how Solomon was setting up this whole incredible temple that really it shows it's a parallel. Our current church structure is paralleled with it in terms of our nave, our narthex, our nave, and our sanctuary, or our altar. And even then, too, once that was done, and the Ark of the Covenant was put in there, and the partitions were all set, that the glory of the Lord was so great that the priests could not even go in. It was just overwhelming to them, tremendous to them. And then in the third reading that we hear from the book of Ezekiel, we zero in more importantly on the actual person of the Mother of God herself, because Ezekiel speaks of the eastern gate and the gate which shall be shut, and no man shall enter therein except the Lord of hosts. He shall enter therein and he shall go out. And of course, the fathers of the church have all indicated to us that this is referring to her perpetual virginity, before, during, and after the birth of Christ. So why the connection then with the tabernacle? Well, because, as I mentioned before, the glory of the Lord inhabited the tabernacle. But the Lord Himself was to inhabit the final tabernacle, the final temple. Of course, Mary, who was taken by Joachim and Anne in fulfillment of a vow when she was only 3 years old, and they did not want her to be separate from her parents in those early years, so that's why they waited until she was 3 years old. And they called all the consecrated virgins of the day to come around her, and with candles bearing, went to the temple. And this was because of the simple fact that, again, Joachim and Anna wanted her to experience this as something great, as something wonderful, and not feel that somehow she was being separated from her parents. But we know that she ran to the steps, and Joachim took her and put her on the third step. And of these steps, there were 15 that led up to the temple. And we might think, is there significance to the 15 steps? Well, actually, yes, there is. This is what is called the Anaboth Mi. The Anaboth Mi refers to 15 songs in the Old Testament in the Psalter, which are called the Songs of Ascent, or the Songs of Steps. And those are Psalms 119 through 132. And they make up the 18th kathisma of the Psalter. Now, a kathisma is a division of the Psalter. It's divided into 20 different sections. And this is the 18th. And so we see the Song of Ascents. And in fact, in our Orthros service, which we just had, we have every week the Anaboth Mi. And what those particular hymns are, they are sung according to the tone of the week, but they are based on these 15 psalms that are found in the 18th Kathisma. So, the Virgin Mary, at that young age, is placed on the third step. She runs up the steps into the temple. This little girl, who according to St. Gregory Palamas, who wrote a magnificent sermon on her, the longest one he ever wrote, who according to her, to him at that point, was completely deified, had completely attained theosis, even at that young age, because she who had been foreordained, forechosen before all the ages, could be nothing but that. But at this time, also remember that the temple that she was entering into was different from the temple of Solomon. It had been destroyed. And when Herod the Great came to Jerusalem around 37-38 AD, he built this magnificent structure. And this was the one that she was ascending into. And of course, at this point, the Ark of the Covenant was history. It was gone. No one knows where it went. It disappeared from sight. And this feast tells us exactly why it disappeared from sight. That all the searching that is done for it, all the speculation as to where it is, really doesn't matter. Indiana Jones can look as much as he wants. Because it's not important. Because something far greater than that ark ascended into the temple on this day. And that is Mary, the Mother of God, or who would become the Mother of God, because she is now the new ark, the new tabernacle. Even from this early age, even Moses, who saw the face of God when he went up onto the mountain, Moses, in his youth, was not like the Mother of God in her youth. Moses saw her because he witnessed the burning bush, which is, of course, a prefigurement of she who cannot be contained, the Platatira, the icon that we have back here, more spacious than the heavens. And she's more spacious than the heavens because she's containing what is greater than the heavens within her. Now, think about this a minute. This is really quite astounding. And there's so many people out there in the Christian world that either denigrate or don't understand who she is and what she's all about. But she is the one who, by her actions, brings God and makes him a son of man, and thereby takes us and makes us sons of God. It's an extraordinary thing that we're talking about here. Someone that is this great in the eyes of the Lord, that was such a prefigurement of all the things to come, that on this day enters into the Holy of Holies herself because of the mere fact that she is greater than the Holy of Holies into which she entered into. She is the one that gave the Holy of Holies its real meaning on this day. You know, we might suspect sometimes, as many actually have, why this particular story, which is found in the Protoevangelium of James, why is it not in the Gospels? People say that all the time. Well, it's not there. Well, why would it be there? Because the Gospel writers were not delving into this second layer of deeper theology regarding her. What they were delving into is who Christ was as he walked on earth and did the things that he did. This was something that they certainly would not want to have become confused with the gospel presentation that was being offered to the world at that time. This was something, as we say in tone 4, the mystery hidden before the ages. This was the mystery of Christ going much, much deeper to find out not only who Christ is, but why he is who he is. He takes from her the image of a human being. And he takes that image of a human being and goes back into heaven. And now God has the image of a human being. Again, this is remarkable. This is heady, heavy stuff. And it's very important. In fact, it's absolutely one of the most foundational things that we teach in the church. Because if you take that away, if you take away the Virgin Mother of God and she becomes just anybody, somebody chosen, a simple fleshly vehicle so that the Lord could take form, then he's not who we proclaim him to be. He's not God before the ages, a little child. He's none of these things. How could he be? Because he has to be born in order to assume all of what we are and vivify it and deify it and take it up into heaven so that our image, again, think of this, our physicality, our bodily image is now sitting on the right hand of God the Father. That's the greatness of the faith. That's why we proclaim her today to be so exalted among all people, greater than all the saints. Again, and I've said this so many times before, because the angels just don't seem to be able to get it. So many times over and over in the services, they are astonished to see her going into the Holy of Holies. They're astonished at all these things, that the things that God has deigned to give to his creation could ever be done. They are amazed by this. And we certainly should be amazed by it also, because it is an astonishment. This temple that she goes into, of course, the high priest at that time was Zacharias, of Zacharias and Elizabeth fame. Because Elizabeth would have been the niece of Anna, of Joachim and Anna fame. And this temple that she went into was built on Mount Moriah, which it is said was the very place where Abraham was asked to sacrifice Isaac. But that was called off. Fortunately, because of the great faith which God knew that Abraham had. So all these many strands that we see today, and there are so many, all get tied up into a beautiful, perfect package. Call it the early Christmas gift from God, if you will. Because this is what she is all about. Her entrance into the temple actually has a further message for all of us too. As St. Gregory Palamas spends half of his sermon, which is about 30 pages, telling us about. And that is that she, being wholly deified and walking into the Holy of Holies and containing the Holy of Holies, shows us the possibility of our deification too, if we will but follow in her footsteps as she did. Because she was, despite all the accolades, despite all the adulation that we give her, she was a human being just like us. And it's like St. Seraphim of Sarov says, you know, she was the human being, and how was she different from us except for being chosen for the role that she had? She paid attention. She paid attention. She understood who God was. She didn't want anything else. That's why she didn't ever want to leave the temple. She would have stayed there her entire life if she could have. Because when she went into the temple, Joachim and Anna, having fulfilled their vow to dedicate this miraculous child to the temple, had no idea who she was at that point. And Mary herself had no idea what was going to be asked of her until the moment of the Annunciation. But she was ready. She was paying attention. She responded to the call of God. And this whole feast, if it does nothing else, simply testifies to the idea that we too should be responding to the call of God. That we should be putting God before everything else. That we should desire Him more than anything else in this entire world. Anything. End of statement, full stop, period. I'm probably overdoing it at this point. But that's what the feast is teaching us. So my dear brothers and sisters, let us honor her as honor is certainly due to her. Because she is the one that did something that the angels thought could never have happened. And in our eyes, she also does the same thing. Something that just seems so inconceivable, so impossible to us. And yet, there she is, arms outstretched in prayer to God and beckoning to all of us to come to Him because that was the primary purpose of her appearance on earth, was to prepare the way of the Lord, assuming our humanity, and thereby glorifying ultimately all of us. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Amen.